And hello and welcome to Strategic Insights Radio, brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Sterling Rose Consulting Corp is a full-service business consulting firm that provides business plan creation and review, marketing plans, marketing implementation, process automation, accounting services, and business technology strategy consulting and implementation services. Today, we're honored to have Sterling Rose Consulting Corp team member and the co-host of Strategic Insights Radio, David Wilkins. David's guests today are Chris Motor and Mike Beatty. Chris Motor serves the City of Norcross and Downtown Development Authority as the Director of Economic Development. He focuses on attracting and growing new businesses and assisting existing businesses to expand in order to create jobs, generate capital investment, and generally grow and diversify the city's tax base while supporting other departments and services that enhance the area's overall quality of life. Chris draws on nearly 30 years of experience in community and economic development, business development, marketing, and sales in both the public and private sectors. Most recently, this included 10 years with the University of Georgia and the Board of Regents in economic development, as well as corporate and foundation relations. Also, Mike Beatty is with us. He's the president and CEO of Great Promise Partnership. He started with Great Promise Partnership in 2013. He retired from service to the state of Georgia as commissioner of the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. Great Promise Partnership, a nonprofit organization, was developed during his tenure at DCA as a partnership to address persistent poverty and workforce development needs around the state. He was appointed to serve as commissioner of the Georgia Department of Community Affairs by Governor Sonny Perdue in June of 2003 and reappointed to serve by Governor Nathan Deal in January 2011. Known for his leadership skills in education, business, and government, Commissioner Beatty's background provided him a unique perspective of the challenges facing our state's local communities. His initial government service was as an elected leader. As a state legislator, Commissioner Beatty served Northeast Georgia in both the State House of Representatives and the State Senate. And at this point, we'll turn it over to David.
Thanks, Mike. And thank you, Chris and Mike, for joining us today. Just before we get into the details, I'd like to get started with setting the stage, how we came together and how we're having this this conversation today. Chris and I were at a Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce function having lunch, and we were chatting about economic development, opportunities, and all that. And then you mentioned, Chris, about the Greater Promise program, and we started talking about that, and that's how we got to where we're at today. So with that, first of all, I'd like to say, how things are going in Norcross? What are the economic opportunities going on there?
It's a very, very exciting time to be associated with Norcross. A lot of great things that we can point to that have already happened, and some exciting things on the drawing board. So I'm really excited to be on board there and serving as their Director of Economic Development.
Great. Yeah. So from all our listeners in other parts of the country, around the world, and outside of the Norcross area, if you're interested in a really, really, truly growing area, you need to be looking at Norcross as a place to either start your business or expand your business. Good. So, Mike, let's set the stage for more about the Great Promise Partnership. You know, explain what it is, how you came about the formation of it, the ideas, and so forth, that to help everybody understand what it is.
Well, thanks, David. You know, as DCA commissioner, I worked in 600 different communities, including Norcross, and I will echo what Chris said. Norcross is one of those great communities that really gets it as far as workforce development and pulling it together. I've known Chris at least 30 years, right, Chris, or 5 or 10. Time. And Chris was actually involved when we first looked at this, David. You know, we saw in my position that we had 91 persistent poverty counties in the state and pockets of poverty everywhere. And we saw that the one issue that you had to really work on was a well-educated, trained workforce if you're going to break that cycle. So actually, Chris and I ended up over at Southwire in Carroll County. I think you came a little after me, and we visited there. And what I saw, David, was about 100 of the most fired up young people you've ever seen, 16 and 17 years old, that were, quote, at risk. Now, I don't like to use the word at risk. I like to use the word overcoming, but they had some barriers that really were keeping them from graduating from high school. And what Southwire put together was so successful, they've now expanded to 300 young people working there, and it's profitable for the company, and it's also profitable for the young person because a great majority of them actually graduate. So we took that idea, and I went to Governor Perdue, Sonny Perdue, and I said, let's take it throughout the state. Let's take that concept. Let's replicate it. Let's scale it. Let's work with communities in a bottom-up, locally driven way. So we started working with communities. It's a private sector type of initiative. We've got great companies like Caterpillar, Shaw Industries, BoYu, Power Partners. I could name, you know, dozens and dozens who are working with us, and they need the labor. They need sharp young people that can fill positions. And so you got that, I call it that demand side, where these companies really are looking for folks to step up and work in these great paying jobs. On the other side, David, I think we looked at it. We've got 20,000 plus young people who just get stuck in high school. They're great kids. They might not be all A kids. They might not be in traditional work-based learning, but they just need a reason why. So we started putting together a concept called Great Promise Partnership, where we partner with all levels of the community. We get these young people coached up. Now, you probably can tell I'm an old football coach, right? Because my voice is carrying pretty good here. We actually get these young people involved in the blocking and tackling of workplace success. Our goal is very simple. We want to take that 16 and 17-year-old that may be coming from really tough situations, some dysfunctional family situations out there. We want to make sure that these young people are ready to go to work, and they work part-time. They'll work in the mornings or the afternoons. Now, listen to this. They get academic credit, David, while they're working, okay? The school gets funding, and the company, the benefit to the company is they see a pipeline of young people that they can hire full-time. In our program, where we've helped, I think, right now, almost 3,000 young people over the last 5-6 years graduate, these young people have a 98% success average.
Wow.
Think about that, 98%, something magic about a check now, earning that check. Our goal is to help that young person graduate from high school, either go to college, go to work full-time, or join the military. And that's what's happening. So we're excited about Gwinnett County. We're excited about being on this radio show. We're working on our partnership with Norcross. We have a partnership with all the municipalities through the Georgia Municipal Association to really get this moving throughout the state. We're in about 40 different locations now. Our goal is to be in over 100 in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, so this, and you mentioned, and I think that's one of the things a lot of people think about, you know, when you think Georgia, you know, you've got Atlanta metro area and, you know, Macon and a few other communities. But for the most part, you know, Georgia being a rural, you think of Georgia as a rural state, there's a lot of opportunities or a lot of lack of opportunities in some of these areas where you can see where the poverty can be an issue. But I think that as we were chatting before, it's not just in the rural areas that this is a problem. And Chris, you know, you made me speak to that in terms of Norcross.
Well, no, it doesn't know any boundaries. You know, one of the things that really excite me about this program is there's not many initiatives that where you can point to a win situation for all involved. And one of the key, I think, success factors in Great Promise Partnership is the fact that Mike has developed this infrastructure and this process where it involves the community as well as the school system and individual businesses and organizations. The process of coming together to address the needs that Mike's alluded to have just really proven quite successful. Communities and organizations, businesses, they like to support initiatives that save lives or change lives. This program definitely changes lives. And I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not sure we could point to one that where we've actually saved a life, but I would be very surprised if we hadn't, because this is a very critical juncture on the part of these students. you know, they have these economic pressures to get out in the workforce and help support their family, you know, without this opportunity to remain in school while also earning a paycheck, who knows where that trajectory would take them. You know, education, workforce development's the number one factor, and, you know, I think a lot of people would point to in terms of promoting economic development. And Norcross is not unique in that regard, but, you know, we're just trying to do everything that we can to make sure that the business community and other organizations are engaged in this effort.
Listening to, recalling a study that I saw, heard about the Boy Scouts had run not too long ago about what the plans are for the Scouts. And then I think it was, if I recall it correctly, it was about 3% of the Scouts were considering the trades, and everybody else was basically looking at college. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunities that are, and well-paying opportunities, if people just knew about them, to be looking at. It may require, you know, some level of education beyond high school in order to really be proficient at it. But there are some that, you know, you don't necessarily have to get a college degree to be very successful and make a lot of money.
That's right, David. And, you know, talking about the metro area, this works great all through the state. You've got great young people at Norcross High School, at Campbell High School in Smyrna, you know, all through the area. You just got some great young people who really need a reason why. You know, a lot of times in policy, we focused on that all A young person, and that's great. These young people are going to make it. They're in that traditional work-based learning, or we focus on young people who have already dropped out. Those seem to have been the public policy focus. Where we're focused are those young people who are still in school and still excited about something. Maybe they don't know what it is, but that check changes their lives. It may buy them groceries. You know, we engage them. You know, if they're not in school that day, they can't work that day, which, you know, improves their attendance. If they drop out of school, they lose their job. And here's something that's key, David. We make sure that every young person in our program has a mentor and they're taught life skills on a regular basis. So a lot of these young people, just because they're coming from tough situations, a lot of them do end up in college. A lot of them end up in technical schools. When they go in and see the structure, and I'll give you one example, Caterpillar over in Bogart is looking for welders. You're talking about those mm-hmm. trades. And they're actually, we're pulling in young people from all over the area to come in, and those welding positions pay great money, actually more than a first-year teacher, I can tell you that, because I did that about 100 years ago. So the point is, we need to get these young people aware of the opportunities. And by, as Chris mentioned, by pulling the whole community together, the political leadership, the school leadership, the business leadership, and the community at large, then we become advocates for these young people who've never had advocates before. And that helps them really make it and succeed.
You know, this might be a good point to really, you know, you talked about examples of saving lives and all that, which there's a lot of different ways you can define that. But I think it probably also great to help again, set the everybody's understandings of some specific examples. How does it help a specific business? Well, let's start with a student. How is it, some examples of how it's helped some specific students, how has it helped a business and so forth, you know?
Well, I think for the young person, and Chris, you've got some examples too. I can remember one young man in particular a few years ago that came to us from the metro area and actually worked for me when I was the commissioner at DCA. So he comes in one day, David, and he says, Commissioner, he says, do I make enough money? And he had just started working. He said, do I make enough? I remember they're working, earning a check, getting academic credit, mm-hmm. school's getting funded. He says, do I make enough money to take my mother to the doctor? She's been sick for a while. And so I said, son, where is your mother? And this is just one example, but there are dozens and dozens of these. So we go out, and certainly she had been sick. And we made sure that she got, you know, care. And we also helped with some housing, because they were five young people all living together in a kind of pay-by-the-week hotel. But here was the thing. A few months later, I get this great letter from this young man from Paris Island. Now, some of y'all know that's the Marine Corps. And he had graduated, gone to Paris Island. He was the best IT person that I had at DCA. So his life changed. You know, when you break that cycle of poverty, when you break it, this young person now, when he comes out of the Marine Corps, which he probably will pretty soon, will have a great paying job. As you know, IT is one of those areas that, that you need. And so I could give you dozens of those examples. Now, for the companies, here's the deal for the companies. They've got a lot of folks my age that are retiring. They are starving for young talent. And so they go in and they sell their culture to these folks, what it means to be part of their company. These young people had no clue what the potential is. And so for the companies, we had one company that actually closed, talking about benefit now, closed a plant in China and brought it back to their community because the young people were 25 to 30% more productive in those short shifts. And that's a great example. I think there's more of that. I think, honestly, we have acres of diamonds. We have the next greatest generation is out there right now. We just got to be smart enough to pull together and really work with these young people and make sure they know what the opportunities are.
You know, that leads to a real interesting point because, you know, you hear so much about with employers about how you deal with millennials. I say issues, but the difference in approach and different, you know, their different focus and so forth. But it sounds like that this group of students are looking at, or and if they're coached up right, are can be more focused and more, if you will, the traditional approach to, you know, to work and the value of work.
Hey, I agree, and they're hungry. You know, when you take a young person who's coming from a tough socioeconomic situation, and you can help them work part time and earn $150, $175 a week. Now, these young people, they're not going out and buying an iPhone with that. They're helping their mama buy groceries. They're helping their household. And the blowback on that is great for the family. I had at one of our companies, we sometimes pull the parents together because it's important. And a lot of these kids are coming from single-parent families, Chris. You know that. They really are. This lady had tears in her eyes, and she said, my daughter is making more money per hour right now than I've ever made in my life. And she's about to graduate. She's going to technical college, and she's got a position assured here with this company. So these young people are hungry. They're looking. You know, I think it was interesting. I read where one company was trying to hire young people, pay them $15 an hour, and they were focused on those millennials who have that disease called affluenza.
Uh-huh.
Y'all heard of affluenza? That's when you got more money. You know, those kids aren't as hungry. You take our young people, we have some of them sometimes make a base pay plus production. They knock the production out of the roof. I mean, these are very productive. So for the companies, they get a very productive worker. They become part of a network that will then be able to interview those young people for full-time positions, which is what they need, and they treat them like part-time employees. The state of Georgia has actually stepped up, Chris, and you know this. There's a law that recently passed that if companies hire these are 16 and 17-year-old in-school youth, mm-hmm. that there is a 5% reduction on workman's comp.
So that could be big.
So there's an idea. So the folks are in the government sector are looking at this. The companies need the young people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a war for jobs out there. Other countries will defeat us in this war for jobs if we don't have a trained workforce. And so it's a win-win for the community. Think about the number of young people who aren't falling into entitlements. We hear a lot about entitlements. Well, when you break that cycle, Chris, for Norcross, you get more productive citizenry. You got more tax revenue. You got more people eating out. And so it can really transform a community if you embrace it the way you all are looking at embracing it in Norcross.
So, Chris, if you could just spend a minute in explaining how you are embracing it and using that maybe as a model is how other communities could get involved.
One of the goals that I had when I started my position at Norcross was to do everything I could to engage individuals and particularly the business community in education and workforce development. I really saw this as this particular program was as a great way to kind of prime that pump. That's really what I'm hoping to accomplish, is to serve as just another vehicle to help that foster that engagement. And in fact, I'm trying to get, you know, the city to find some ways that we can also perhaps hire a couple of students and be a partner in this as well. But one thing I've been telling my colleagues is that this will not only, you know, be a significant impact for those students, but it's going to be an impact on the organization, on the city, and this goes for businesses as well. One thing I can guarantee is that the people at the businesses that are engaged with these students in one way or another will be changed. I can point to an example Mike knows very well. I'm not sure if you were at DCA when this transpired, but the Department of Community Affairs hired some students as part of this program. One of them worked in the housing department. And during the course of her tenure there, she actually became homeless. I think she lived with her mother. Mm-hmm. They became homeless. Well, she somehow communicated this back to the department where she was working. They circled her and said, okay, well, this is what we're all about here. These are the kinds of things that we help address. They helped her and her mother get out of that homeless situation. And so what a powerful way to demonstrate and to really bring to life what those associates at DCA were all about. And this is a real life example of the impact of their work. So it impacted not only the student, but the organization itself. There will be people within the company that will, you know, perhaps serve as mentors. That relationship that they build with those students, quite meaningful. It changes them.
So from a business perspective, then really, this looks like one of those opportunities where you can really provide real, tangible, measurable benefit and service to people who really can use it, and not have to make a major investment in the process of doing it, because it actually, it's a win-win, because you're getting the benefits of a productive worker, and you're actually able to help them in transforming their lives at the same time without having to go out and spend a lot of money and doing something that out of the ordinary.
David, I tell companies and HR folks, two things happen when these young people walk in your place of business. Number one, your production is going to go up. Number two, your morale is going to go up, because people like to be part of something bigger. And they see these young people and these supervisors, and you see them, Chris, you've seen them at South Bar, you see them everywhere where these supervisors really work with these young people. I was with Shaw Industries recently, and they're expanding. They're in like three different locations. They want to expand into more communities, BoU Corporation, Caterpillar. I could go on and on, because they see the benefit to their company. And the other thing is, you know, they get to hire them at the end. They get, you know, those young people have been trained up. And I've even talked to some college presidents who've talked about this. You know, you take a young person who's actually been out in a manufacturing facility that knows how things work, and a lot of these young people go get a degree, you know, and they work in an apprenticeship type thing in fact, there's a great apprenticeship program coming down now through the Department of Labor. You know, they can be in college, and when they go back to work, they know how to do things because they've been in that factory doing things, versus someone who's been in academia the whole time and they don't know how to really operate in a plant setting. So you're absolutely right. Let me say this about public entities too. I mean, these young people are great to work in water authorities, public safety. They're great IT folks. I mean, we have communities all over the state who just rave, not just the private sector, but the city halls, the county governments, the EMCs, and others who love the work that these young people do.
Great, great. Now, I've heard a little bit about the Cornerstone Community process, and what's that all about?
Well, listen, that after about 5 years of looking at this, we finally figured out last year that if you really want sustainability, you know, great ideas come out of Washington and Atlanta all the time, right? But then you get a new president, you get a new governor, and things change. What this does It implements a bottom-up, locally driven strategy that involves the local political leadership, the local business community, the school system, and then, you know, partners throughout the community. And what that does, we come together with a process where they actually agree to become part of a cornerstone community. And the Georgia Municipal Association then, as that community, for instance, acquires maybe three companies with 10 youth or five companies with five youth, they get different award levels. And these young people, this community as a whole, will be recognized at the Georgia Municipal Association's meetings, both in Savannah. We got one coming up. We've got Valdosta. We've got Athens. And, you know, we've got Dalton. And we've got Swainsboro, all going to be recognized as cornerstone communities. So, and the cool thing about that, Chris, you could take not just the workforce development, but you could do a lot of things through that concept, whether it be downtown development, housing strategies, but by having everybody coming together at that local level, because that's where you get things done. Where it really happens is that
all politics is local, right?
So we're excited about that. We got our first four communities. We got 10 others who are queued up to hit that level this year. So that gives them something to work for. And, you know, funny thing about recognition, babies cry for it and grown men die for it. So we like to put that recognition in there for these communities.
I like that. I'm going to have to remember that one. Well, and just following on from that, how would a community get started in the program?
Well, what we did in Norcross, and I use that example, is, of course, I had an advocate because Chris was there in the very beginning of taking the Southwire model and making it work in smaller communities.
And smaller organizations.
So what we do, we've already had our first meeting, a couple of meetings in Norcross where we pulled together the city officials, the school, some company folks have already queued up and said, we'll hire the young people. And so we will do an MOU with Norcross starting in July.
An MOU being?
A memorandum of understanding.
Okay.
That basically says, let me tell you what the MOU says.
Yep.
It says, we love our young people and we're going to help them succeed. I mean, you can write it out any way you want to, but that's what it does. And then this time, probably either at the winter meeting of GMA or next year, you'll see Norcross is one of those cornerstone communities. Smyrna is also doing this over in Cobb County. Powder Springs, we're working with them. So we've got several metro area communities that are stepping up.
Good. Now, how would they get involved? Or in terms of, you know, a community, how do they get in contact with you to learn more about what to do and how to get started?
Well, David, we're going to put you in charge of that. They're going to call you and you're going to be our... Well, they can go to gppartnership.org, our website, and get that. Or they can actually call me, Mike Beatty, at 706-540-2573. And if you're interested, we'll come in and actually sit down with your community. We're reaching out to all, as you know, Chris, all the mayors and the commissioners throughout the state. And so we're doing it kind of community by community. I was in Dalton one day this week. We had a similar meeting up there as we had with Norcross, and they're one of our cornerstone, but they want to be a double award winner. They looked at the highest award, said, Michael, next year we want to make sure that Norcross doesn't get ahead of us, so we're going to be a double platinum. But they go to our website, they can call me, or we'll be reaching out to them, each community in the state also.
Okay. Now, is this something that is just local to Georgia, or is there more of a national program this is affiliated with, or if not, then is this something that what's the plans for the larger community of the United States?
Well, if you listen to the news, you will see the Department of Labor is really expanding their apprenticeship program, and USDA has got a rural program to really help communities succeed. So, and as we work through these leaders, we believe that this could be done in any state. And we've actually had other states come in. We had a community from South Carolina come in, and they're replicating it back in, I think it's Aiken, South Carolina there. We've had some communities in Tennessee come in. I've met with some folks in Texas. So it's really kind of what I've looked at, David. It's a little bit unique in that this is simple, you know, it's not
really
complicated.
Like, yeah.
You don't need a $1 million contract to do it. you just got to have this, what I call kids and companies approach, where you get the young people identified by the local school system. You get those young people coached up. You identify 5 to 10 companies, and you bring the companies and the kids together a couple of times a year and make sure that there are opportunities for them to work part-time. And it just, it really begins to move on its own. So we can go in and probably just a few months teach any community in the country how to do that. So we do have plans, and we are working on making this a very duplicatable model that could be taken nationwide.
Great, great. Chris, what do you think? Where do you think it's going to go?
I'm very optimistic, and it's already gone. I mean, it's well underway, and Mike has got some really impressive statistics to point to already. So that the hard part is the pioneering companies that kind of took a risk in communicating to their boards as to, you know, what this could mean, and getting beyond some of the, you know, the concerns. But it's really building momentum. I'm very optimistic, and I can't say enough about Mike's colleagues that helped to work with the schools and the businesses in ensuring the success of the program. The last thing that they want to do is have the school identify a good candidate student, and then the student go into the business setting and fail.
So they
go to great lengths to, Mike calls it coaching up. There's a lot involved in coaching up. There's, you know, soft skills. You talk to most businesses, and soft skills are the critical element that undermines a lot of people's effectiveness. They work with these students in an intensive kind of 6-week boot camp, if you will, to make sure that they're prepared for what they're going to be going into. I think that goes a long way in ensuring the success.
And this group of field coordinators, thank you, Chris, for mentioning, it's a great team of young people that go in and facilitate between the school and the company and make sure that the jobs are what the kids need to be doing. They're safe, and we work with all the different entities, federal and state, and to make it a very safe, risk-free environment for the young people. So that's so important. So we do have those field coordinators who are just sharp, and work all the time to make this come together.
Yeah, so everybody, this really truly is one of those win-win situations, because, yes, the student obviously wins. They get the experience, and they've got an outlook on life they may not have had before. The businesses get the community, get the involvement, and as you say, productivity goes up. And that we get, it'd be interesting to see some real measurable results of that they can record that can be used as for other companies as good support. And then obviously the community gets the benefit as well, because now you've got companies that are either staying or growing because now they've got a better workforce to go with.
And that's so true, David. You know, we talk about that climate of success. You know, Norcross has a climate of success in their community. And that climate of success is for the families and businesses. So when you create that, when you bring all these players together and you're making it a true climate of success where existing companies stay there, where new companies want to come there, because they say, hey, you know, Norcross is really, they've got the school system working with us, you know, they've got everybody coming together, the city's working together, we're going to have a pool of great employees to choose from. I mean, so it can really make a difference. The kids stay there, they don't leave. One of the things, particularly in rural Georgia and also here, you know, a lot of times the sharper young people leave the area. Well, you want to have opportunities for them to stay in Norcross and work.
Great. Pretty much wrapping up. I thank you guys. And you know, for people who are interested in looking at Norcross as an opportunity for business, Chris, how do they get a hold of you?
You can go to our website, norcrossga.net. They can reach me there. Always welcome the opportunity to help identify the opportunities in Norcross, help can make the necessary connections. You know, economic development is a team sport. Just glad to be a part of the team and have others like Mike that I can draw upon.
Well, that's great. Well, Mike and Chris, it's been a real pleasure, and this has been most enjoyable conversation today. And thank you for all your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here.
Thank you, David.
All right. Thank you very much, David. And thank you again to Chris Motor and Mike Beatty for joining us here on the program. This has been Strategic Insights Radio discussing Great Promise Partnership. For more information about our guests,
Great Promise Partnership, or our host, David Wilkins, contact Sterling Rose Consulting Corp at 678-996-1312, or you can visit the company website, sterlingroseconsultingcorp.com.